Welcome to Keep the Hotel Empty. I'm your host, Eric Paul. In studio today, we are grateful to welcome in photographer, videographer, and founder of Best Life Productions, Brandon Kruk. In this episode, Brandon discusses with us what drew him to photography, some of his travels, and shares some of his favorite experiences documenting his best life. Please enjoy. Welcome to Keep the Hotel Empty. Today we've kept the hotel empty for photographer, documenter of life, digital creator, founder of Best Life Productions, Mr. Brandon Kruk. Welcome, Brandon.
Thank you.
How you doing, man?
Doing good.
So I know you've recently been on some adventures. I know you get behind the lens and capture some stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to get there. But tell me how this all starts. Where do you find out you got a creativity, where you got the drive to pick up a camera? How do you wind up there?
Oh, man. I don't know. It goes back a long way. Like, I've always been pretty creative with, like, just how I am. So, like, I've been painting and, like, drawing since I was little. But my parents got me, like, a little Digicam. And I don't even remember what it was, but I was just taking pictures of, like, whatever I could. And I was, like, really small. So, like, obviously the pictures were not great. So then I went, and it was, like, middle school. And I was like, oh, I want to be a YouTuber. So I kind of got a camera. My grandma got me a camera. Shout out my grandma.
Shout out all the grandmas.
Oh, yeah.
Out there supporting the dreams.
And so she got me a Canon PowerShot SX530HS. So that's a big name, but just a little point and shoot type deal. And then senior year, that was like a big jump. Senior year from middle school.
Right.
But eighth grade to ninth grade, I used that camera. And then ninth grade, I had a chest surgery. And so I was just kind of in bed for like a month. And, I was just like, kind of, oh man, my bad, I'm blanking.
Sometimes that's one of the best times for ideas to hit you. I've been post-surgery too, when you're forced to just sit there and think.
Yeah, yeah. So it was just like surgery, learn about it. And I was like, this is something I really like to do. And I got a better camera that summer because I was just kind of focused on making videos and like kind of doing more YouTube and more photos along the way. And
what kind of stuff were you filming and taking pictures of then? What did you start with?
Like just YouTube videos of like vlogs, like me doing random stuff with my friends, and then moved into like just pictures of like football team at my school and the lacrosse team. And I was taking pictures of like all the lacrosse girls because my ex-girlfriend played lacrosse. So I was like,
there you go,
whatever, might as well take some pics.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then from there, I actually went to concerts because I was like, man, I really like music and I want to like expand in that. In that sense, like I like to go to concerts. So it's like, might as well take pictures at them, like do something creative to like,
right,
you know. And
do you remember the first concert you went to today to take pictures?
Oh, yeah.
Specifically to take pictures?
Yeah, it was at the 5 o'clock club.
Oh,
right,
nice.
Right there on Hillview. And it was like, well, it's not the 5 o'clock club anymore.
No.
But it was there. It was this guy that I ended up working with for a little bit who ended up being, I don't know, but it was called The Showcase. And it was a bunch of people, like 20 people or so. It was like a rap
gotcha.
Show. So yep. I started real big in the hip hop scene, and then I kind of just moved and progressed, and now I'm shooting all sorts of stuff from like hardcore to like post-punk.
So in high school is when you started, when this 5 o'clock club gig happened, you were that young?
Yeah, I was in 10th grade.
Okay.
So I was 15 going into this 18 plus event. I was like, please, can you get me in? But
so how do you make it from 15 to 18 going to other concerts? Where, how does that progress? You just had the drive to take the pictures?
Yeah. And well, COVID is a big thing too, because COVID happened my junior year of school. So
okay.
While that was going on, I transitioned schools from junior year to senior year. And in between all that, I was really just focused on like, I wasn't really like caring too much about school, and I was really just grinding out, taking pictures. Like I was going to concerts almost weekly here in Sarasota, and like just,
you're talking post-COVID,
pre-COVID.
Oh, pre-COVID.
Yeah, so like sophomore year I was doing that, and then junior happened and boom, COVID. And then yeah.
So how did you deal with that? I know that that's actually come up with a lot of people. You
COVID?
Know, yeah, how it affected them. And it's really been quite a smattering. How was it for
yeah,
you?
Yeah, so for me, it was pretty much just like, I had already left school. Like, I left this one school I was at, Cardinal Mooney, right as COVID hit. And I was in like an alternative school type deal. And so we were all online, and I went to that school for like a week, and then we went online. And so I was just online, kind of going on adventures all the time, driving around Florida, just kind of learning my state and like seeing things and going out with my friends.
And were you documenting all that?
Yeah, I was taking pictures with my camera for majority of those adventures. Not so much filming them, but then I kind of got into it. And then senior year is where everything kind of just was like, okay, this is really, really fun. And got together with a bunch of my friends one day after school, and we were just like, why don't we just film whatever we can?
Right.
And so we didn't really have, like you said, with keep the hotel empty, how you're keeping it empty for everybody. It's like, we didn't really know what we were filming. We didn't know what we were going to do. We didn't know if it was going to be funny, what it was going to be like. Cringe.
This is blank slate adventure.
Exactly. So we were called the Blank Boys.
Oh, nice.
And we kind of just made like crazy content, like silly little videos for a couple months. And then we kind of just fell apart.
Yeah.
And from there, I was like, man, I need to do something with like actual purpose. So then Best Life Productions was born. And I just kind of been going with the flow since then. I haven't really been doing too much to kind of have it take off or anything, but I've just been kind of pushing out just like a steady stream.
So what was the impetus from I'm just going to kick it traveling around the state and COVID to COVID clears up and now you're thinking I'm going to start this production company? How did you grow to that point?
Honestly, I don't know. I've always been pretty like, I don't want to say lost, but like I just haven't really found out like, like do I really want to do this like forever? I don't know if I want to do like that's why it's productions and not like photography or video
right.
Something like that. That way I could just kind of keep it broad, you know. Maybe I'll like I posted a show. I want to branch out and do like almost everything I can within like the production level, and like hopefully one day I'll be able to like. Like even just make a concert and like be able to have our own team of photographers, video people, marketing, and all sorts of stuff. So it'd just be.
What's the cool thing that's the most exciting for you right now? Are you're still doing bands?
Yeah, all the time. Still shooting. Going to shows way more than I ever have been. Like this year alone, I've probably been to like 30 plus shows. But I've also been working with this business that my roommate also works with, and it's called Magnify Branding. We kind of go around to like soccer tournaments, lacrosse tournaments, and print photos and sell them out to like parents.
Oh, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
What gave you that idea?
Well, shout out to my friend Rebecca with Supreme Soul Films. She just posted on her story one day on Instagram. She was like, anybody need a job? And I was like, me. The next thing you know, I'm on the I'm on the phone with my boss, now boss, and I'm like on an interview at like some skate jam, just talking. And yeah, now we pretty much just travel like every weekend and take pictures. It's pretty cool.
So is that like the bulk of the day job portion of it, for lack of a better term, so that you can go to all these shows and do all that passion play
stuff?
Yeah,
pretty much. But the kind of funny dynamic between it all is that most shows fall on weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, like, people in youth sports are in school during the week.
Right.
So the tournaments are on weekends too. And it's just like,
shoot all day, shoot all night.
Which one do I want to go to? Because like sometimes it's like shows in Florida and I'm in California or I'm in Maryland or somewhere random. But
so how does the traveling work? What's the scoop with that?
It's like,
you go around with these teams?
Mm-mm. We sign with the tournament.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And so the tournament picks us up as like their photography vendor, and then we go in and just kind of take over, do our thing, shoot all the teams. And
gotcha. And then everything printed on site?
Yeah.
That's so cool. And how long have you been doing that?
I've been doing it since about January, February, March, like April.
Okay, so not that long.
So not that long. Maybe even March, but.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So you got the regular gig of the tournaments.
Yeah.
You got the passion play of the shows.
Yeah.
What about your other adventures? You were just recently overseas, yeah?
Yeah, that is true. I went on a small little vacation with my parents.
Yeah.
And we went over to Africa. That was very cool.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about that. I saw some of the pictures of that on Instagram. It looked awesome.
Yeah, it was definitely like a eye-opening, like almost trip. It was just like so cool to see the world, like see how other people are living, and like just seeing how kind of America is just like everything is like ooh right here. And it was like you don't have to really like deal with the reality of everything, you know.
True.
It's kind of crazy.
What was it like taking pictures over there?
It was definitely different because I'm not normally taking pictures of like cheetahs out here. And
yeah, right.
Like driving through like villages and towns, like people look at me with my camera sticking out like the window, and like I had I got a picture of this boy. He was walking down the street with another little boy. He was probably like 4 or 5. He just sees me. He's like,
"No way!"
Yeah. So he was pretending to be me with my little telephoto lens. And
that's so cool.
Yeah.
So what do you want to do more of that?
Or yeah, was
that,
for sure.
This was just like you got to do it because you were traveling anyways.
I got to do it because I was traveling, but if I got the opportunity to, I definitely would do it. Like I would love to just be able to go out and document just whatever I could about the world, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's so cool. So if you go taking everything, pictures from soccer tournaments, lacrosse tournaments, concerts, to random trip to Africa.
I try to take pictures of just about everything I can.
So that's a pretty wide smattering right there. What do you think, what's the common thing that you think makes a good photo?
Makes a good photo?
When you know you've taken a good photo, regardless of what one of these crazy subjects it is.
That's a good answer, a good question. I would have to say, honestly, if the person's happy with the photo. I like when people are happy with my work because it's just kind of, you know, it feels good. It's like, oh, this person really likes this picture. That's awesome, you know? But for a good photo for me is like, I don't know. I just like action, and I like definitely like, I don't even know.
Do you get real critical when you look at your pictures back of the composition, or are you just looking at it and either this feels good or this doesn't, this feels like this wasn't quite the moment?
It depends, but most of the time I just kind of do it based off looks. I'm not too like Hollywood, as one would say, about film, you know? Like I was a film major at Full Sail.
Okay.
But it was too Hollywood for me, so I was just like, I had to take a step back, and now that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Do you have any training in this at all, or are you YouTube University some life?
YouTube University, for sure. I watched a lot of, like, Peter McKinnon and, like, Casey Neistat growing up, so I was, like, still pretty, like, into, like, all the vlogging culture and all that. But I didn't really have anybody there to, like, really show. I mean, I did. Once I started doing the, like, lacrosse photos and stuff, my boy Louis was there for me, and he kind of taught me the kind of like the ins and outs of shooting like action sports and stuff like that. So I was able to like kind of take that and then put it into concerts because it's pretty fast still.
Right.
You just got to worry about lighting, and that's all the differences.
But yeah, it almost seems like writing music when you don't have much music theory.
Yeah.
Taking pictures when you don't necessarily, you know, you'd kind of learn along the way and.
Yeah, pretty much. And so just with experience, I guess, like shooting all the time also, like I just kind of started shooting in manual and I was like, we'll see what this does. And then I like had a basic guideline of everything and then eventually brought out and got my own style and everything. So it was pretty cool.
What helped you do that? Just the taking pictures after pictures?
Yeah, and like kind of just seeing the way other photographers were. I didn't want to be like other photographers. I just wanted to be able to be kind of, I'm kind of sneaky with my photography. I kind of move around a lot and like try and just take pictures of the most like candid moments that I can. So I'm normally just standing there, and then you'll see me, bam, and that's it.
So you're not hanging out in the photo pit constantly like this?
Mm-mm.
What you just, that was just the nature of, if everybody else is doing this, then I don't want to do that?
Yeah.
Type thinking?
Pretty much, I guess. And just like shooting with wide angle lenses too, it's very, very forgiving if I'm just kind of shooting at an arm's reach or doing something like that.
So what is the wide angle lens part of your style?
Yeah, I would say it's part of my style. If I even have a style.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do you describe your style, or what are you shooting for? No pun intended. Dude, horrible pun.
That was awesome. I would say I like a lot of color, so I do some like short, long exposures. Mm-hmm. So it's not like crazy long exposure, but it's enough to get some color and some movement.
And what was your inspiration for that? Because I've seen some of your photos that, and this might date me a little bit, but they almost look like 90s photos used to, where some of the light drags in them and things like that. What was your inspiration for letting them be like that? Because nowadays everything can be so clean, you almost have to try to make it like that, or allow it to be like that, I guess, is maybe a better way to put it.
Yeah, I guess a lot of people think about pictures and they're like, man, it's got to be perfect, like, oh no, look at that. He's got like the tiniest little blur like right next to his head or whatever. And I'm like, okay, it's just character, you know? I like to see the imperfections in the photos, and like no two photos are ever the same. Even if you have the same settings, and like let's say you're just kind of throwing your camera around, they're not going to be the same. Even if you try and keep it as still as you can, it won't be the same. It's just nothing else like it. I don't know.
So instead of fighting the random, kind of lean into it a little bit more and see what it gets. Because I've noticed some of the stuff that you photograph is really busy stuff, big packed parties.
Yeah.
How do you manage that?
I kind of just move around and I do one of these, and I have my camera up and just kind of work my way through the crowd. And then sometimes people see me, they'll be like, hey, picture, can I get a picture? Or I'll see someone, I'll be like, hey, y'all want a picture?
Right. Talk to me about some of these bigger functions, the way the underground is coming up. I've been seeing you at some of these parties. What's the score with this?
So the parties you've been seeing, that's this group out of Orlando called NFT Events.
Mm-hmm.
It's got nothing to do with the non-fungible tokens.
No,
but
they might be fungible.
It's got everything to do with parties. they kind of just host events at like random houses. Well, not random, but houses that are kind of in the middle of nowhere, and just safe spaces for a bunch of college kids to have fun, you know?
Yeah, it looks like it's popping off level 10.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Like, the past one was Halloween, and they did, like, a whole block party takeover. They had this one neighborhood complex, like, it was, like, upped security because they heard about the party, so they did it at the other one, which just so happened to be the same one, but west. It was, like, Retreat East, Retreat West, and it's, like, a whole thing, and so, like, 4,000 people or so showed up, maybe more, to this parking lot and just watched DJ Lily perform his set off this balcony, and it was super, super cool.
Yeah, it looked really cool.
A little out of hand, but I can't believe the cops didn't even stop it until like 1 a.m. or so.
Well, it was a lot of people stopping. Yeah. It was probably going to be more work than it was worth.
That's what I'm thinking.
So how do you find out about stuff like that? You just word of mouth, and then you're like, okay, this seems like this is going to be a good place for me to go take pictures.
Yeah, pretty much. It's either word of mouth, or I find like a flyer on Instagram, and I'm like, oh, that looks interesting. I'll have to check that out. But
so are you able to do this full time thanks to the tournament gigs?
Yeah, yeah. Thankfully, I'm able to. I'm still working on like getting my full rates and stuff out there, and like getting set like deals and whatnot, but
yeah, all that stuff can be in flux. That stuff changes as time changes.
For sure, but definitely working.
So how much do you think the equipment that you use matters, given that, I mean, I know it matters to some degree no matter what, but given you got kind of a more, I'm going to take what I can get, I'm going to be a little bit more spontaneous and capture this energy, how much does your equipment play into that?
It plays into it a lot. Well, not too much. It's just like, do you want it crispy or not crispy? And it's like, the way I shoot is like, the flash kind of subjects the person, so it like locks you into the picture. And then once I move my camera or whatever, everything in the back starts moving.
Ah.
And so the just the frozen subject, it, you'll just be super, super high def with my camera. But I also like to shoot on like just random cameras. So I picked up some Polaroids and like not your traditional like whatever it's called.
Yeah, the Instamax or whatever.
Yeah, the instant photo Polaroids, but the ones where it's like digital, like the $20 ones at Target.
Okay.
The ISO 48, I think that's what it is. And it's like a little blue one. And I love shooting on that. Like I would just shoot little random videos on it. And I think I have like 4 YouTube channels where I just make videos. I probably have like over 200 videos on YouTube.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So talk to me about how YouTube works for you. That I'm curious about. You have multiple YouTube channels?
Yeah. I started off as Soda Boy and I did probably like 70 videos or so on that channel until I, and then senior year happened. And I was like, yeah, I want to kind of forget about Soda Boy and just kind of branch, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so like I made a video about my chest surgery, which, it did pretty good. And so did my like heart. I had a heart, I'm blanking at the moment, but it's called ablation.
Okay.
So I had an ablation done and I did like a little vlog about both of them. And like people still hit me up to this day and they're like, hey, I need to know about this chest surgery. Is it worth it? This and this. I'm like, sweet. Like I get to help people still. Like,
yeah. That's awesome.
Super cool. But I did kind of fall behind Soda Boy, and then I moved into the Blank Boys, and so that was just kind of like fun, very random, like spry of the moment. Like,
and how do you approach it when you're starting these channels? You don't care about how many subs you get or how it works? You're just pumping out the content and letting
really.
It ride?
I just kind of let it ride, and then from there I just kind of see if people like it, and then if people like it, then I'll keep pushing it out, but just depending on my the response. I think that's how I roll.
So how did Channel 2 turn into Channel 3?
So Channel 2 was actually doing very well. It was like we were getting, we got like 150 subscribers in a month. And that's pretty like hard, I would think, on YouTube.
It can be for sure.
Yeah. And it was just a bunch of people from my high school that were loving our videos. And I think we kind of averaged like a 400 view average on each video, so it was like it was pretty cool. But then we all kind of just like had our own things going on. Everybody's going to college, or
right
my bad.
No, you're good.
And just then I was like, oh well, these guys aren't around anymore, and the Blank Boys is extra blank now.
Yeah.
So might as well just make it even more vague and just become Best Life Productions, because...
Okay, so that's where you started this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It was after the Blank Boys. So I was just kind of talking to my friend Nadim, and he was like, we need to just do stuff, like explore and like live, you know? Like we're pretty young. We're really young. We're like 18, whatever.
Yeah.
We got to do stuff, like...
Time is theoretically on your side.
Exactly. And we just kind of wanted to just kind of let loose and do whatever we wanted to. And then it kind of turned into like a music video thing where I made music videos. And
how did that start?
Well, I was working at Big Olaf's Ice Cream on Siesta Key. And I call it the little ice cream shop of dreams because me, my buddy Honore, my boy J Rose, and M, shout out M, we all worked there, and we were just kind of like all friends. We'd all hang out, and there was more of us that would hang out, but J Rose and Honore Payton, they would they made music, so we would just kind of hang out, listen to their music. And then one day I was like, I have cameras and I like to make music videos and videos and whatnot, I should just make you a music video. And so literally after work, me and Payton went out, just shot a couple music videos and call it that. And then from there, we shot one at my old place in Orlando, literally in the closet of my bedroom, in like an hour and a half. That one ended up being super, super cool. Like one of my favorite videos of all time. But
a lot you can do with a closet you don't know about.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to make it a set, believe it or not. Like just kind of put paper up and you're good.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So you've had a lot of this. When you have these ideas, you want to just get them rolling regardless of whatever's around. We'll make it work with whatever we have, whether or not it was the first camera your grandma got you or we're going to film this video in a closet.
Oh, yeah. Just kind of roll with whatever I can do. No matter what, I just try to kind of push through and do the best I can with whatever equipment I can.
What do you think has given you that mentality? Because a lot of people would be daunted by that. They would think to themselves, yo, I can't start a YouTube channel unless I have a better camera. I can't take pictures at the soccer game because I have no clue how to take pictures of people in action sports. You know, what do you think has helped you have that mentality of just going for it?
I don't know. I just kind of, I like doing new things. So I do a lot of things all the time. And I just kind of go in and I'm like, scope it out, see how I can roll with it, and then try and just get what I can, you know? Whether I take 1,000 pictures in a night or 100, it's all pretty much like the same. I don't know.
What has been unexpected for you in this? When you started taking pictures, do you know what's been a curveball for you? Is the tournament gig a curveball? Was taking pictures of Cheetahs a curveball? Or does nothing seem like a curveball when you're open-minded to it?
I don't know. It's kind of like all a curveball. It's like everything I do is new. It's like pretty much new because no matter where I go, the lighting is always going to be different, or who I'm shooting, people right. like look different under different lighting, and like there's all sorts of things you can mess up when you're shooting during the daytime, especially like, oof, like the settings are just, they're fun. I like it. It's like math almost, but a weird kind of math.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So there's parts of your personality that play into the nuance of it.
Yeah. I would say I'm pretty like, what's the word? It's like not very traditional in the sense of how I take my photos. I like to be kind of sporadic and kind of interesting with it.
So the newness is part of the fuel.
Yeah.
If it's not new, it's not really all that fun.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Or if it's like pretty dry, like cut and paste, like same thing over and over.
Right.
Then I kind of lose my, I don't know. I'm losing my train of thought, but
well, it's the passion for it when you want to do something creative, exactly. But it becomes repetitive.
It's like my junior year of school, I was focusing on photos, not school, because I like photos more than I liked school.
Right.
So it was like, just kind of the duality of it all.
Did you have any outlet for that in school? Because I've been able to talk to a couple different people, a barber who had cosmetics in school, you know, some other people that had production classes in school. Were you able to have any support in school for this passion?
Yeah, so when I went to the first high school I went to, that one, they had a photo club, and then at the end of the year, they kind of had a photo tournament, like a photo award show where people kind of spread out their posters of their pictures.
Very cool.
Yeah. You would get awarded first, second, or third with the medals and whatnot. So it was pretty cool just being able to have my photos printed and being like some sort of show and winning. Like for once, I was like, whoa, that's interesting.
How valuable was that for you to have something like that earlier on instead of having to, say, drift into college and just be still wondering?
It was definitely a confidence booster for sure. Like being in ninth grade and 10th grade, getting these like awards for pictures I took, I was like, whoa, like I actually did that.
That's so awesome.
I took like these pictures. I'm like proud of myself. And I was just kind of jolly. And I was thinking about stopping like photos and all that and my camera stuff just to kind of focus on school. But then I let the photos take over.
The passion voice can be very loud.
Yeah, very, very loud.
That's super cool. That's really cool. And I think a lot of people kind of downplay the need for and I would consider photography an art in some regard, but the way people couch like arts teaching, whether or not it's music or traditional art, and the people that get a chance to have that younger, it makes a significant impact on them. And I think that's a lot of people don't realize that. Mm-hmm. So I'm stoked to hear that you were one of those.
Oh yeah.
And it hasn't completely dried up. The creativity is worth nurturing.
Yeah, that's true.
Clearly new things is a good thing for you. What do you hope your next new thing is? You got any new things on the horizon you're trying to aim at?
Ooh, any new things on the horizon? Not too much. I would say I just kind of want to keep flowing with work and these shows for a little bit longer, and then maybe start doing some other stuff, like maybe branching out and hosting shows. I did a little test run in Denver, just so I was just kind of blank slate.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody out there, and like just kind of having to DM 50 bands and then like find one of them that can pull through in like a week's notice and all sorts of stuff. It's pretty crazy, but I somehow pulled through. And
so what was the impetus for this? You just went from Florida to Colorado and was like, hey, I'm going to throw a show?
Yeah, so I went to Sick New World with my best friend. And we went back to DU, which is where she was at the time. And basically, I was like, we're free. We should just throw a show. So I DM'd a bunch of bands. A bunch of them responded. They were like, sorry, we can't do it next week. Coming back,
yeah, right.
And I was like,
sure, no, it's gonna be tough.
Sorry, I'm from Florida, but this one band from Boulder, which is like an hour out, they were like, yeah, we could do it. And so the Galantines came in clutch, and I was just driving around when I see some guy walking out of a house with the piano stand, and I was like, hey, are you in a band?
Yeah, right.
And he was like, yeah, man, I am. And ended up being at the venue that we used. It was like a garage behind some like frat-ish house. Mm-hmm. And it was super cool. There was like lasers, smoke machine, and like just DJ sets blasting techno. So it was pretty fun. Got like 30 people out there. It was a good test run, I would say. But now if I want to start it in Orlando, I've got some connections, and I definitely want to start it.
Yeah, there's a good market for that. Is that where you're based out of now? Based out of Orlando now?
Yeah, living out in Orlando. I moved there like last January. So I lived here in Sarasota my whole life prior to that. But yeah.
And a little bit easier to travel to and from out of Orlando?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah, right.
Don't have to drive to Tampa to get to the international airport. And now Sarasota is getting bigger, so.
True that.
Too big.
Yeah, right, by the minute.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get a little off topic here.
That's fine.
How did you like Sick New World?
Ooh, Sick New World was crazy.
Because now, and I'm going to date myself again. This was my generation. You're clearly younger than me.
Yeah.
You're like the second or third generation coming into this. Did it seem like a bunch of old heads, or did it seem like fresh?
Ooh, I don't know. It was like a good mix. It was like a really good mix because you got all like, you got all the Korn fans there, you got all the Deftones fans and the System fans, and it's like, it's just a bunch of new metal. Like, I'm kind of excited to see what this year's is going to be like. I'm not going, unfortunately, but it's like, I don't know if you saw the lineup, but it's all over the place.
It is, yeah, it seems like exceedingly eclectic.
Darts, without looking.
Yeah.
It's the craziest lineup, but it was like a mix of old heads and like a bunch of the like newer generation. There was a bunch of kids there too, so it was pretty cool. I saw like Narrowhead, saw Kitty, saw Flyleaf, Deftones, Korn, Evanescence, System. Saw all the like the ones that you had to hit.
I heard Kitty's set was really good.
Yeah, it was really good.
I heard they were surprised good. So were you taking phone pictures there? Because obviously you weren't coming in with big lens and trying to get it, right?
I also, my friend Morgan, she let me take her, she had a little point and shoot, little power shot that I was able to take in there with me. So I got a pretty cool picture of Papa Roach in the crowd, actually.
Nice.
Yeah. So I was shooting on that little point and shoot. And my phone, but then I just recently broke my phone, and I wasn't backed up to iCloud, so I lost a bunch of stuff.
Oh, brutal.
So yeah, unfortunately, I did lose majority of my Sick New World stuff.
Oh, brutal.
Yeah, tragedy.
So I know that the pictures, especially when you're working with the bands, that becomes a big part of promo these days.
Mm-hmm.
How does that affect you? Is it when you're taking these pictures, are you trying to look for something that's going to play well on social media, even when you're just...
Yeah, I try to make it look as cool as I can so that they can use it for whatever they want to use it for. So I have like, I've seen my, like, it's always so cool, like, just using my phone and going to like Spotify or Instagram, because I never know like what I'm gonna see.
Right.
And I've seen my photos as like album covers, as little artist pictures, and like
very cool
profile pictures, and then people tagging me all the time. I'm like, oh my goodness.
So how has that game changed now that that's such a necessity for every artist? Do you find yourself like, I guess, what's the hierarchy of it? Photos, videos, shorts?
I don't know. I would say a lot of photos, at least from what I've seen in Orlando's, the photo scene is pretty big. But there's definitely like a big market for videos. So
what do people mostly want from you, or you just kind of provide them what you've done and you just say, hey, take it or leave it?
For me, mainly just photos. I don't really fan out too much. Like, people don't really ask me for much more than just photos, so I kind of just leave it at that. And then, to be honest, I don't like editing that much, so I'm like, ooh, if I don't have to edit, perfect.
So that's kind of somewhat
video, not photos.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's part of where photo is a little bit more appealing, because you can kind of, like you said, the imperfections of it all can kind of become the quirks and the cool parts of it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So what is, man, you're all over the map with stuff. So that's so cool.
Yeah.
So we'll do a real fun one for you.
Okay.
If you could pick, we're going to do two fun ones. If you could pick an event to photograph, who's the headliner?
The headliner?
And if you could pick a location, now that you've had this, something like Africa, random, where would it be? Either one.
Ooh.
And I ask these questions of people because I think that it's a fun way to find out where you think your creativity, your visions, your pictures would shine the most. Like, who's going to make it so Brandon's pictures look like the way Brandon wants them to look? Who do you see as your ideal subject or an ideal location?
Oh, man, that's like a loaded question.
Big time.
That's a good one. I never really thought of that. I would say the venue would either be like Red Rocks.
Oh, yeah.
Or there's this really cool amphitheater that I saw and visited in Qatar. I don't remember what it's called, but it's just this huge like stadium almost with like a circular... it's all made out of stone. Like,
crazy.
Circular stage in the middle, and it just kind of overlooks the city a little bit. And it's, that one was crazy. I don't know who I would have be the headliner, though, because I would say a lot of the Playboi Carti, Ken Carson, Destroy Lonely, they would go crazy for my picks, I feel.
Yeah.
But I would want to shoot like maybe Rammstein.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever seen them live?
No, I wish.
Oh, my God.
I
want to see that like fire. Fun.
I feel like that would be crazy.
Yeah. They're very fun.
Yeah.
It's definitely different now that they're older, but they're stupid fun.
Yeah, it would be cool with the pyrotechnics. But yeah, anybody just like Korn, they'd be cool to shoot.
So do you have a preference? Since I said, you know, you started off doing hip hop artists and stuff like that, do you like doing people where it's more subject to people, or you like doing band where it's instruments and a little more chaos too?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know. I like getting people, but I also like the band thing, but I like it for the people. So I don't know.
Because I can see like in the pictures where you're taking with the DJ sets and everything is kind of chaotic, there is still an obvious, you still maintained to have that obvious subject. You know, the vibe is all in the shot for sure.
Yeah.
But I, even though it's just two dudes behind a deck, it, you know what I mean? I know it's them I'm looking at.
Yeah.
That's a little bit harder with a band, I guess.
Yeah. Especially with some of the venues, like it, sometimes it could be super tight and everybody's like on top of everyone. And like, you have to find the angle that you can get everybody in the pick at, or it's just too big and everybody's so spread out, you can't get a picture of everybody in the same shot.
Right.
And if you stand too far back, then you lose quality. And there's so much like that just applies to the whole photo taking experience as well.
Yeah, there's variables on top of variables.
Yeah.
So when and I hate to backtrack a little bit. Well, you said you were in Qatar. When you were in Qatar, were you taking pictures there, or was this just another traveling?
Yeah, that was like my layover. So we flew from Miami to Qatar,
yeah,
to Arusha, which is in Tanzania. So we had like a day in Qatar.
That's crazy.
Just chill.
Man, that's a stupid long flight.
Yeah, it's like 14 hours just to Qatar. And then it was an 8-hour layover and then six more to Arusha.
Good Lord.
Yeah. And then back, it was an hour from Arusha to Dar es Salaam. And then an hour layover, kind of. And then we just went straight to Qatar. And then that was like 5 hours. And then 16 back.
Holy smokes. I don't think I could do that. Have you done international traveling like that before, or was that the first one?
Yeah, I have. I've been going, well, not like going out all the time, but I've been traveling since I was young. So I've been around, I would say.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Are you going to continue to do that?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think traveling is like my favorite thing, I would say, like over anything else. If I could have like one thing that I could just do, it would be to travel.
Okay, well then.
And take photos, obviously.
Yeah, right. The traveling just makes it so you can take cool photos.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well then we're going to spin back. What's, if you could just keep traveling, obviously you're going to go to multiple locations, mm-hmm, but where's bucket list one? Where's the one place right now, if you could teleport right there and have your camera on hand, where are we going?
That's a tough one. I don't know if I would say like Australia, or if I would say like somewhere up in like the Scandinavian region, like Norway or Iceland or like something cool. I don't know.
Because the nature photography is something you still want to keep doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really like nature, and I love animals. So being able to see them just like in nature is super cool. Like seeing lions just out and about is like,
yeah,
probably the most wild thing I've ever experienced. I had to use the bathroom when we were in this safari car, and I got out of the safari vehicle and kind of went around the back, took a piss, and then got back in. We went probably 30 meters or so, and then past this tree, and there was a lion sleeping right next to that tree.
Oh my God.
So I was insanely close to a sleeping lion.
But he didn't know.
Mm-mm. He did not know.
God, that's crazy.
Fortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the growth of the business look like? You want to be able to travel with that?
Yeah, that would be cool.
Outside of the United States?
That would be very cool. Extremely cool, even. I really don't know, like, wait, which business?
What you're doing with your photography, what you're doing with the tournaments, because ultimately that's the umbrella for all
that
of your
would
stuff,
be cool.
Correct?
Yeah. We were going to go to Spain, but that ended up kind of falling through after some planning plans.
Spanish snafus.
After something happened. I don't know what happened, because everything is through a higher up. I'm just a guy. I just work here, but yeah.
So it's just the two of you?
No, it's the two of us, and then probably like how many? 16 others, if not more. There's just a huge, huge group of us.
And you're based here in Florida?
Yeah,
okay.
Orlando. But we work everywhere. Texas, Ohio, California, Colorado, Nevada, South Carolina.
And that's strictly sporting?
Yeah.
But your best life is you.
Is me.
Okay.
That's me. That's all me. Yeah.
Okay.
And that is just just anything creative I could really push out there. It's kind of like a, not a front, but it's like, oh, Best Life Productions, what's this?
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, this is where I could put my cool stuff or show my friends stuff. Like it's not really tied down to one thing. Like I'm not going to be solely pumping like concerts or solely be pumping out music videos. I'm going to be doing music videos, concerts, nature documentaries, who knows? It's all about living your best life and just kind of fulfilling yourself, you know? Just kind of make yourself happy.
So that's the impetus for it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the motto, live your best life.
So when we live in a capitalist world where most people are going to say their best life is where they're making the most money, I can glean from you that that's not really your MO in this one.
I wouldn't say money is my number one worry in the world.
So how do you quantify what best life is? It's just a matter of
happiness, like internally, and just kind of, I don't know. It's just like life is so crazy and life is just like so random, and just kind of got to make the best of what you can. I've never really been the super sad type, just because I've always just kind of been at peace, you know, just letting things be how they happen, you know, like everything happens for a reason. I like to think, at least,
right?
And it just kind of all works its own little thing. I don't know. It's hard to explain. It's
yeah,
just
it like, certainly is.
It and feels like the right thing. I don't know.
Yeah, and that's a unique. That's a unique sentiment to be able to identify, because a lot of people have a hard time keeping themselves motivated when they can't feel that way.
That is true. So, motivation is definitely a big thing.
It's a like, fleeting thing. You can't really rely on it so
yeah,
much.
You've got the one passion. Day and one day it's not there and you're like, oh man. But then, so, I don't even know. I have a lot of things that motivate me, whether it's seeing like my friends or just seeing other people's content, and I'm like, wow, that was really good. I gotta step up my game, or I gotta do something to like to beat them. It's just my inner like jealous inner madman / like cool guy. It's just like, I'm gonna beat you.
Well, having drive for betterment isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah,
and it can be a lot of fun along the way.
Yeah, but.
So what's the biggest thing that you've learned since starting this? If you could go back and tell your middle school self when you got grandma's first camera, one of the things that you want to know right out of the gate, what would you go back and tell yourself from square one?
From square one, I would tell myself, obviously, how to work manual cameras, like how to do manual. Because I was shooting auto for the Luddites,
what's the difference?
But I would say
what's a manual versus
It's auto. Just settings. So auto, it does everything for you: focus and like your ISO, aperture, and your shutter speed. But manual, you got to set those three.
Okay.
So once you kind of find the perfect balance of those, then you got your picture.
Gotcha. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I definitely teach myself that. That's like the number one thing that anybody who takes pictures should know. But I would say is like, don't be so hard on yourself. Like I was always super focused on like having the best like thing ever. Like, oh, this got to be perfect, you know? And really, it doesn't have to be perfect, because is there really like perfect?
Right.
Like, it could be really good. It doesn't have to be perfect. But as long as it at least surpasses really good, you know, then that's...
Oh, if you're comfortable with it, it's on.
Yeah. If it's really good to me, at least.
So but, when you're having these first moments, how are you avoiding the crisis of faith when it's not coming back perfect and you're seeing your first pictures? Are you thinking to yourself, my God, I don't know if I should do this? Or are you thinking, I got this. These ones just suck for now.
Yeah, pretty much. Like I'm always messing up in my pictures. Like whether it's a flash miscommunication thing or like, just constantly learning, and I still need to learn a lot more than I already know, but all my effects are like practical within my camera. So, I'm not really using like Photoshop, which I should learn, but yeah, it's just like.
So what was that like? What's the conscious decision behind that? I mean, I wouldn't have even thought that because I feel like Photoshop's such a, just a standard. Everybody's mucking with everything. You're doing that?
Mm-mm. No. Yeah. I only really adjust my lighting, like my exposure and my highlights, and that's about it. And that just kind of either brightens my picture and brings out details. So
where was that philosophy born from? What made you decide to do that?
I don't know. Just kind of playing around and then seeing what I liked. Because I don't really like photos when they're super duper edited. I'm like,
gotcha.
But then when I see like a just like a standard photo, I'm like, wow. Nice.
So it is that spontaneity thing.
Yeah.
Who was your big inspirations in that? Do you have photographers that when you first started seeing their work, it was like, okay, I'm gonna start to try to go this direction?
So I didn't really have many like photography inspirations, like middle school, besides like Peter McKinnon and like the YouTube photographers that are like, oh, let me show you how to do all this. So like a lot of car photographers and like just like YouTube photographers, I would say the people that kind of teach and show you how to do stuff. But then once I started like seeing people on Instagram and getting more active, like in the real world, not just on YouTube, I would see like Adam DeGrasse. He's a Post Malone's photographer.
Oh, cool.
I saw his stuff and I was like, wow, that's super, super sick. I like that. Definitely want to do some more of that stuff. So that kind of inspired me with my concert photography before I got into like the wide angle stuff, which is still pretty recent, like just within this year, actually, I would say. And yeah, I would say he's been a big inspiration. And then more recently, I would say Ruga. He's definitely top of the game, like top dog right now.
And what's that subject matter? What's his subject matter?
People. He shoots like just all sorts of people and like the coolest pictures that you'll ever see. Like I can't top that. And I don't know who can top that. Because it's just that good. It's like,
I'll definitely have to check that out. Yeah, I'm very curious in that.
Definitely show you.
So is the wide angle lens, being that you can capture so much more, is that kind of playing into the ethos where you don't have to do much of it but edit it because you've got more content to begin with in the first place?
Yes and no. I don't know. I feel like just minimal edits is always the way to go. But the fisheye and like the wide angle, I just like the look of it. I'm like, the more I can get in the picture, the cooler. Because I could get the crowd, I could get the DJ, and I could get his set, like his soundboard in it. Or I could get like the whole band and then like the pit. And it's like, whoa, like that's like almost 180 degrees.
Right.
It's like you're there. And I'm also like super nostalgic and like I feel like I'm very sentimental about things. So it's like, that's another reason why I started taking pictures, was just to like have the memories. It was like, oh, so this is how it was.
Okay, that brings the room together a bit. That makes sense.
So
okay,
that was also a big reason behind my photos taking stuff.
You want the document of it?
Yeah, I want the document. Like if I'm going to shows, pics, you got proof?
Well. Yeah, right.
But.
So the fisheye lens is kind of an interesting thing. That smacked of me to like, I mean, everything smacks to me of the 90s, whatever.
Yeah.
But it smacked of me of like the old 90s skate videos. That had such a cool aesthetic to it. Did you have an inspiration for that or did you just wander onto it?
Well, I had a wide angle attachment on my like regular kit lens. Mm-hmm. So it was just like a thing that screwed on and it would make it like a little wider with like the ring around it. I just started shooting with that. And I really liked the look of it, and I started shooting skateboarding and all that. So I was using that to the point where it broke my camera, and I was like, oh, man. And then I just got this lens, a fisheye. It's like 8mm, so it's super wide.
Right.
But, I just kind of shoot on that now. And a lot of people are like, oh, where's your bag? Like, you're just a camera with the fisheye. That's all I need.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So it's kind of the less is more principle.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know.
And the fish, I think, was born out of breaking another lens that was close. It wasn't like you saw something and was like, yo, I'm going to try that.
Mm-mm. And I was also just like, man, I need a wider lens because I'm so close to these people sometimes that, like, it just doesn't work because the other wide angle was through, like, this other lens and it was just kind of a mess. So it'd be like, it would probably be like your full body right now from my distance right now.
Right.
And sometimes it's way closer. But, like, if it were the lens I currently have and I had it right here, you could see, like, the mic, you could see the water, you could see
everything.
Cameras, everything. And, yeah.
That's so crazy. So what's the next thing you'd like to add to the repertoire? Are you going to keep working these angles?
Not sure. Just a lot of shows. But
yep. Sticking with the camera. Do you ever shoot black and white? Do you ever do any portrait stuff?
Yeah, so I recently have been playing around with black and white a lot, just kind of seeing what I can do with it, cropping a lot of my fisheye photos, like zooming into people and bands and whatnot to get these black and white images. And I'm liking the way it looks. I'm still keeping everything like super quiet. Like my Instagram has been pretty dismal the past couple months, just because I've been very busy and I've been just kind of like blood out of social media. Like it's just so much.
Yeah. How does that grind feel? I know how it is on this end, but it's a little bit different when you're actually, your pictures are your thing. You're not mm-hmm. taking pictures of your podcast set or pictures of guitars. You're taking pictures and that's your picture.
Yeah. It's kind of funny to see, like, I used to post like groups of three, so it would be like three of the same shots. And then one day I just posted three black pictures, and then I posted one of different. And that was recent too. But I don't know if people are liking it. I think people like the shots of three better, maybe because it filled their feed more or something. I don't know. But it's cool to see like what like my audience likes, like whether they like rap pictures or like rock pictures or like pictures of animals or no matter like anything. I just kind of find a audience.
Well, that's where having a diverse set of subjects can work against you.
That's
but
true.
Having your style be ubiquitous across those can work for you.
Yeah, that is true. I have had some posts that I'm like, huh, surprised that didn't do so hot because I like the picture and it's like, I think it's cool. But then other people might not. So it's, I don't know. I kind of just work with the ebb and flow of people's reactions. Like, whether they're happy or they're like, you need to do better.
So really, what are you hoping people take away from your pictures? That sort of happiness? That oh man, I look good there? Or,
yeah.
Oh man, that really makes me remember what a good time that was from the sentimental nature that you have? Because you're obviously capturing that because you're aware of it.
Probably like a little bit of both. I like to make sure that everything's just like I want people to be happy with the way they look. So that sometimes it like, you know, everybody's always like, oh man, you took a pic of me.
Yeah.
I don't look good today. Come on. Why'd you do that?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like if you're at the club and you've had a couple drinks and you see a picture of you and it's like something you've never seen, like on a camera before, like I'm not saying nobody's ever seen a fisheye, but
yeah, right.
It's not like the traditional like photo you would expect from
exactly.
a camera, and you see it, you're like, oh, that's cool, that's really cool, and so hopefully it makes you happy. But yeah,
so being able to share that sentiment you're capturing,
yeah,
is a big deal for you.
Yeah, the sentiment and just everything.
All right, well, we're going to get you out of here on one that's super easy.
Okay.
Maybe not super easy. Maybe equally loaded. Uh-oh. If you can think of the favorite picture you ever took, the one picture you have that you're like, damn, that's the one. I'm still chasing that one. Do you got a picture you're still chasing?
Ooh. I think I do. I took this one picture of my boy Jake, DJ Lily, jumping off the second story of this house into a crowd. And he's like arms extended, just fully
straight Christ there,
diving into this crowd. And that picture's probably one of my, like, I would say my favorite picture that I've taken so far. But I don't know. I like some of the photos I got in Africa of, like, the lion eating the impala.
That's sort of apples and oranges.
Yeah, and it's like, I have, like, favorites in all sorts of, like, groups. I'm like, oh, man. But
so it's really about just chasing, catching that moment.
Yeah, just getting the best shot I can at, like, the best time I can.
That's so cool.
It's all, like, clockwork almost.
That's a really cool ethos, man. I think it's good that you're out there doing that. People need someone trying to capture it in its raw sense instead of trying to make it too damn pretty.
Yeah, thank you.
So I got to tell you, man, I really appreciate you coming down.
Thank you for having me.
I've had a blast getting to talk to you a little bit, and I will definitely link to your pictures. I can't wait to see more of what you do. Thank you very much, brother.
Sweet.
Peace, man.
See you later.
Thank you.